Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Fargo, I don't know why that should be in the top 10. It's barely a comedy.
It's not a comedy. It's a dark comedy, but it's not a yuck-yuck type of comedy.
Yeah.
I would say that you get more laughs watching Blazing Saddles.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Oh, is everybody ready for Thanksgiving? I know we talked about it last week, and when this comes out, Thanksgiving will have already been gone, and Jeff will still have bologna left in his refrigerator so he can have leftovers. But I've been working all week, and my son has had no school, which means from about 7:30 in the morning till I leave for work in the early afternoon, daddy, 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 daddy. And that's a relatively new thing. And I love it, but boy, I wasn't expecting it to happen so soon.
Mommy! Mommy! Mama! 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 Mom! Mom!
If you would just take him to Mount Splashmore, he'd probably leave you alone.
We don't have one of those. But we do have, Tucker, Georgia now has a green space that they put in. It's part of the PATH project in Atlanta. And it's really cool, and it's really fun. And he goes there, and that's a lot of fun. But yesterday it was raining. But anyway, I don't normally work on Wednesdays. And I don't even think we did a show last year, did we, for Thanksgiving? Did we do the Thanksgiving week show?
We did the pizza tasting the week before, and we took the week off.
Yeah, so I guess the only reason I'm here doing it this week is because we actually had to work. But we had a lot of fun on the radio show, the Von Hessler Doctrine on WSB Radio. Did a bunch of Thanksgiving parody songs, trying to make the perfect Thanksgiving carol. That sounds like an old school Christmas carol, and it actually turned out pretty good. So if you're interested, get the 11/26/2025 episode of the Von Hessler Doctrine on a podcast. And speaking of which, thanks again to our guest George last week, who got us over 100 views on YouTube, talking about Skankfest. And speaking of the holidays, we are having our 2025 holiday hootenanny, if you're in the Atlanta area, on Sunday, December 7th from 1 to 4 p.m. That'll be at Atlanta Pizza in Euro and Conyers, our longest sponsor on this program. And we
I'm not coming to that. I'm coming to the holiday get together.
You're not
at the same time in the same location.
But you're doing the get together. I'm doing the hootenanny.
Yeah, because the hootenanny's in the bathroom by the glory hole.
I was going to say, Mike put that back
in. In the restaurant.
Yeah, Mike said they could open up the glory hole again. They took the wires off, the barbed wire. So, you know, hey, whatever floats your boat, make sure you bring a dessert if you want to. Limited menu. There'll be pizza, and of course you can drink, and Mike will be doing all the cooking, and probably some salad too. But come on out, bring the kids. And again, that is the 7th of December from 1 to 4 p.m. And I believe we're going to be watching, or he'll be screening that. Now, we don't have to sit there and be quiet. I mean, that... you can if you want, but what's the name of that movie again?
Blood, Sweat, and Cheer.
Yeah, Blood, Sweat, and Cheer. So that'll be, they shot a movie at his location, so we'll be screening that. And he invited Josh Warren, our frequent guest and collaborator and friend, and I would love to see him out there. And I invited a couple of people from Adult Swim. Dave is going to see the Falcons, and I invited Matt Malero, but he has some prior commitments, but said if he has time, he would love to come out and hang out with everybody. So that would be cool, but come on out. Come on out. All right, show's over. No, I don't know what to talk about this week. It's just been crazy. And I have stopped, for the most part, I have stopped paying attention to the news. It is just, everything's crazy. Every day is crazy. And I'm just kind of enjoying watching the shows that I watch. I think Pluribus is the best television show to come around, and I can't tell
this week's was fucking hilarious.
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it.
Oh, man, it came out last night.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it probably, Friday.
This was the funniest episode of all of them so far.
They are funny, though. It's so well written. The allegory is so self-evident, or it's so much in the open that I think there's going to be a twist. Don't you?
Yeah, it's almost got to.
Well, this one ends on a big shock. You'll see.
Okay. Not as much as that most recent episode of the Chair Company, where I know I'm behind and I know the season's over, and they did get renewed for a second season. Lake Bell told me that yesterday when I interviewed her. But that scene where what's his buddy's name? Is the guy that's helping
Mike.
Him out? Mike, yeah. He's texting him, yeah, I'm in bed right now, and he's watching. You think he's watching A Christmas Carol?
That's why I texted you Scrooge like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know, but I wasn't expecting that. Thank you for not spoiling it, because I fucking died. That was hilarious. Those two shows, I got to get into Landman. And what's the other show? I'm still watching Welcome to Derry, even though, you know, I love that book. I absolutely love that book. Even
plus last week's one was really good.
They're good
episodes.
It was
really good, yeah.
But it has nothing to do with the original story. It doesn't. None of that shit happened in the book.
It's taking stuff from the book and extrapolating back in time.
Yeah.
It's not about the book.
Have you read Dr. Sleep?
Yes, I read Dr. Sleep.
Okay. So why is it hard to combine those two?
Well, I don't recall in the original book the Native Americans putting shards of its spaceship around to keep it from escaping.
Yeah. They've already laid the foundation for this in the movies, so they can't differentiate from what they've already started.
Yeah, I know. That's my problem with the movies, too. The movies I don't like as much as this series. I think the series is great. I think the kid actors are good. I like the adult storylines. I like the character arcs that people are going through. I love Halloran. But I just have a thing that it's like, okay, all right. I like the story.
Aren't they just elaborating more on the Native American aspect of it? I think
Stephen King just takes the checks and goes, do whatever you want.
Tim doesn't understand anything about going deeper.
No. Well, I understand.
That's a concept he cannot relate to.
The receiving end is I've been able to handle that lately. I've been practicing a lot. But yeah, I mean, it's a good show. I'm not knocking the show.
I thought if you haven't seen it, I thought the amount of time that the kid was back was excessively long for the twist that it gave.
Yeah, I thought that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, I've never seen that happen more than like a few minutes at a time, not a couple, you know, like a day or two.
And finally, we got to see Pennywise, so that was kind of cool too.
Yeah.
So what's this? I don't know. We don't usually do these, and I decided a long time ago that I don't want to do them. But this is kind of making news, and it's getting a lot of talk on the social medias, but Variety put out the top 10 best comedy films of all time.
Top 100, but I just put the top 10 in there.
Yeah, they put out the top 100. These are always arbitrary. I don't know how they determine what's good and what isn't, right? You know?
Who's doing it and how old they are.
Right, right. And so Jeff pared it down to like the top 10. So tell us what the top 10, according to Variety.com. Now, do we have any problems with the order of these? They're all good, all 10 of these movies.
I know there's some in here that I haven't never seen. I know they're classic movies and stuff, but number 10 is Groundhog Day.
Hey, now don't you tell me you don't remember me, because I sure as heck fire remember you. Ned! Ryerson! Needle-nose Ned the Head. Come on, buddy, Case Western High!
When you walked out of Groundhog Day, when you saw it in the theater, did you go, wow, this is going to be one of the top 10 comedy films of all time? It was funny. It's Bill Murray.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, and I love Bill Murray.
Yeah, but it really has legs. This movie is held up, I think.
Yeah.
It's something you can watch again and again, like you're trapped.
And the guy who played Ned the Head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ned Ryerson.
Saw an interview with him, and he said that at a party, it was a post-filming party, he asked Harold Ramis, how long was he trapped there? And Ramus said, because he's Buddhist, which Ramus was, he said that it took 10,000 years for him to attain nirvana. And that's what that was a representation of.
Damn. Number nine, what is that, Jeff?
Young Frankenstein.
Werewolf.
Werewolf?
Werewolf. Their castle.
Why are you talking that way?
I thought you wanted to.
No, I don't want to.
Suit yourself. I'm easy.
That should probably be higher on the list.
I agree.
I agree.
I can't believe Blazing Saddles was only... What, isn't that like in the 50s?
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. Blazing Saddles is funnier than Young Frankenstein. Young Frankenstein is a better movie, but it's not as funny. I learned something. Do you guys watch the Eddie... Well, first of all, did you guys watch the Eddie Murphy documentary yet? I never knew this. Trading Places was supposed to have been Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. I didn't know that.
Huh.
Jeff's dad told him.
I can see that.
He knows about stuff like that.
Yeah, he knows about stuff like that. But that would have been a completely different movie. Absolutely completely different. But and Frankenstein, have you guys all watched the Guillermo del Toro Frankenstein?
No, I haven't watched
it yet. Not yet.
Mm-hmm. Some people love it. Some people hate it. It seems like a time suck.
It's kind of like a Barry Lyndon. It's really good to watch and beautiful to look at, but the story is still the story. It's been redone so many times.
Deviating from Mary Shelley's story and making that universal picture with Karloff was the best one out of all of them.
Yeah.
Because it also gave us that line from Ed Wood.
Karloff? Sidekick?
Fuck you! Karloff does not deserve to smell my shit! How dare that asshole bring up Karloff? You think it takes talent to play Frankenstein? It's on makeup and then grunting.
So yeah, I think that Young Frankenstein, I don't know. Is it number eight, and I'll tell you why. What's number eight, Jeff?
Fargo. I don't know why that should be in the top ten. It's barely a comedy.
I want you to tell me what these fellas look like.
Well, the little guy, he was kind of funny looking.
In what way?
I don't know, just funny looking.
Can you be any more specific?
He wasn't circumcised.
Was he funny looking apart from that?
It's not a comedy. It's
comedy.
It's a comedy.
It's a dark comedy, but it's not a yuck type of comedy.
Yeah.
I would say that you get more laughs watching Blazing Saddles.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Yeah, two different kinds of comedy.
Yeah. William H. Macy robbed of an Oscar, by the way, for that film.
You're darn tootin'.
Agreed.
By Cuba Gooding Jr.
He did say that none of his lines were ad-libbed. Even all the stuttering and everything was in the script, and that's how he did it.
Yeah, they don't allow that, do they?
Not the brothers, no.
No, not the Coen brothers. Francis McDormand got an Oscar, and they got an Oscar. Great film, man. Steve Buscemi's fantastic in that. I forget the guy's name. Sturmer, the German dude.
I'm fucking hungry now, you know.
Yeah. Who, he's a nihilist.
We fuck you up, man. We chase the money.
Come and get it.
Number seven.
Duck Soup. The best Marx Brothers movie of all time.
Yes, it is their best movie. Probably, like, every movie after that got worse, right?
Well, that was the last of their Paramount movies, and they had, like, learned a lot by the time they were leaving Paramount.
Yeah.
So this is, like, the best of the best. All the Paramount movies, like, added up to this.
When did they stop making movies?
Yeah, they did like five more with other studios.
Yeah, and then they just sort of fell away, right?
Yeah.
And Groucho was the only one who remained.
Yeah.
After he lost all of his money.
Yeah.
Chico needed the money. Game shows and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he probably made a good penny off of that game show. What was that called?
You Bet Your Life.
Bet Your Life. You say the secret word. What's number six?
The Holy Grail. Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
He can join us in our quest for the Holy Grail.
He's already got one, you see?
He says they've already got one. Are you sure he's got one?
Oh, yes. It's very nice.
Probably the most quotable out of all three of them. Although, I do like Life of Brian a little bit better.
Yeah, I like Meaning of Life better than any of them, but...
You do? Why is that?
I think it's segmented more and shows a variety of what they could do over a larger scale.
Right.
They weren't confined within either the story of, you know.
Yeah, it's more like the sketches of Monty Python. Or, yeah.
Or Arthur and the Round Table. They were just kind of, it could be anything. And they had the most memorable, like, you know, Mr. Creosote and like all that stuff.
It was, Give me over it all.
Showed the range a little more. But yeah.
Well, you're dead now, so shut up.
You always talk, you Americans. Well, you're dead now. So shut up.
I didn't know Cleese was the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do love all of them. I like that one, too, of course. It does have a lot of good quotes. Gilbert likes the song, Always Look on the Bright Side.
Yeah.
Doesn't understand. Are you a Monty Python fan, Lizzie?
Oh, yeah. I grew up on that from my dad. Yeah. Now, I did like Life of Brian, but... Holy Grail's the one that I watch the most, like over and over again, you know?
Jesus Christ! I think the cow, and what was it? Go away, you silly English kniggets, or I will taunt you a second time. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries. What's number five?
Waiting for Guffman. I feel like Best in Show was funnier.
I do, too.
Yeah, me, too.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
Waiting for Guffman is good, but it's definitely not Best in Show. Best in Show is so funny. And I do think Fred Willard should have gotten an Oscar for that.
My favorite part is when, what's his name? Is it Eugene Levy?
Yeah.
Is talking about how he didn't want to dance with his soon-to-be wife because he had two left feet. And then they panned down and he literally has
two left shoes. Yeah.
Oh, God, when they go over to, what's his name, Miller's house. What's that comedian's name? Miller. Larry Miller.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's an ex-boyfriend
of hers.
The ex-boyfriend. And he's such a scumbag.
You know what I was just remembering? That time with you and me at the lake? With the piñata? Remember?
Was that you?
You wouldn't know this, but she was famous for putting her legs behind her head. She could get both legs behind her head.
What he's like an animal.
That guy was so funny. In everything, he plays that sort of that same character, like the doorman on Seinfeld. His stand-up was always great. He has that great bit about, you know, negotiating yourself when you're drinking on a work night.
Yes,
that's pretty funny, and a great turn on an episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, where he puts the metal hair on the metal wig on Carl after he shows Carl what his life would have been like with hair. And all Carl does is ruin that guy's life. You got to get the pump. Number four.
The Great Dictator. This is the Charlie Chaplin movie. I've never seen it.
Oh, my God. It's good. A goddamn beautiful film.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Very mocking. Timeless. Very anti-Hitler. Timeless and timely.
Very.
And it is funny. It's not a movie that, like, audience, our generation might not go, it's uproariously funny. It's no Beverly Hills Cop. But it is very, very funny. And I watched it with my uncle a couple years ago on Thanksgiving. I guess must have been before my parents moved here because I was going to North Carolina. But it is good. And if you've never seen it, I think it's probably Charlie Chan's best movie. I meant Charlie Chaplin.
Number three is Annie Hall.
That's a good movie.
That's not the funniest Woody Allen movie, though.
Oh, I wouldn't put that in the number three spot. I mean, it's a good movie, but I wouldn't put it in the number third.
Take the Money and Run or Bananas or Sleeper are all way funnier than that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's not a
top five.
Yeah, it's not a top five comedy movie at all.
No.
It's not even a top. It's a top five movie, I think. Or
I mean, there's funny lines in it and stuff, but
there's great scenes. It's an intelligent, well-written film. But to say it's gags and funny as like Jeff said, Sleeper, Take the Money and Run, Bananas, no way. Those are funnier movies. He made his pivot to making more serious films, relationship-based films.
I just watched that scene from Take the Money and Run where he's playing the cello in the marching band. He's got the chair and he's running down the street and setting the chair up and playing the cello. And then the band catches up to him and he's got to run ahead and put the chair up. So fucking funny.
I do love Annie Hall. I think it's a great movie.
Number two, I have not seen, but I know you've seen it a ton of times. Some Like It Hot.
I come from this musical family. My mother is a piano teacher. My father was a conductor.
Where did he conduct?
On the Baltimore and Ohio.
Oh.
What? Yeah, I love it. It's too long, but I love it. Marilyn Monroe, Tony Curtis, Jack Lemmon. Jack Lemmon. I met Tony Curtis, and I had him autograph the DVD for my uncle.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim. Oh, God. You know, I love...
What did I ask him? I said, what did you think of... what's your favorite... I asked him what his favorite Jamie Lee Curtis movie was, and he went,
I love Freaky Friday. That Lindsay Lohan. What an actress. What an actress. Marilyn was something else. Well, well, well.
What a nice guy he was. His 80th birthday. He was in town because the radio station I worked for, we did movies at Piedmont Park. And he came in, and I think we got him a Marilyn Monroe impersonator who came out and sang, and his wife was there with him. That was really cool. And number one, I kind of agree with.
Yeah, I agree with this too. Naked Gun from the Files of Police Squad, the first one.
You're familiar with that face? Maybe this will refresh your memory.
I don't know. It's still kind of hazy.
How about this?
Yeah, I remember him. Why do you want to know?
I can't tell you that.
Well, maybe this will help.
I really don't think I should.
Yeah, you still don't think so?
All right, his name is Nordberg. He's a cop.
Nonstop gags. Laughs, 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 laughs. Very funny movie. And the sequel, which I finally finished, or not the sequel, but
I watched 15 minutes of it and stopped.
Oh, I thought it was hilarious.
I couldn't
like
do it.
It.
I thought it was okay. I watched it.
Nope.
Didn't care for it.
You guys didn't like it at all?
No, because they cut out the gangbang scene right before the end of Act 1. No, I didn't like it. I don't know. Had it been a different thing? Not related at all to Naked Gun, I might have liked it, but because it was really, yeah, it would be like making Airplane without anybody from the movies in it. I just thought it was kind of not good.
Okay. There was that part where I laughed. Like that whole shadow scene where the guy's spying on him and Pam Anderson, that scene was pretty damn funny.
People think that doing those kind of jokes is easy to do, those gag jokes. This constant gags and gags and gags, and then it's easy like an Airplane or Naked Gun, but it's not.
No.
And the other thing about like Naked Gun is it was based on that show, which was canceled way too soon, Police Squad, and also Airplane. But there was a special something about those movies and those shows is what they were parodying. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
What they were doing was novel. And what Seth MacFarlane did was take an existing property and just put a different guy in it and write a bunch of jokes. That, to me, it's different.
Yeah. I was able to read through some of the article's top 100, and I read what they said about Blazing Saddles. And that's pretty much, they said, why it got so popular was because everybody was so used to the Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how each movie was made is kind of the same formula. So he was able to take that and just make gag after gag of that and...
Well, yeah, it hadn't been done up to that point, not for that genre of movie.
Yeah.
You know? Right. What were some of the other ones that didn't make it into the top 10 that probably should have been?
I really like Wet Hot American Summer. I think that movie's hilarious.
Was that a TV movie or a regular
movie? No, it was a regular movie.
It was a regular movie.
Yeah. But it just had a bunch of NBC people in it.
Well, they were doing their... It was the group that went on to do The State.
Ah.
So it was all their friends, plus Paul Rudd and...
Super Troopers. That's a really funny
movie.
Yeah, that should have been on there.
Anchorman, I get it. I get why that's up there, because that's relentless with the jokes, although I think it's funny.
I love Anchorman.
Me too.
Idiocracy's in there.
Yeah,
they're in the 80s.
They're so high up there. Do you watch, the other day, speaking of 80s movies, you know, that guy we've been trying to get on the show who has a new book out now, or that he's teasing it's coming out, so we should all do a full court press if we want to talk to him. Jason Paragon. He did a video about the importance of RoboCop and how he's a little younger than we are, Jeff. Because that came out, what, 87? And we went and saw it in the theater. He might have been 14 or 13 then, and he went to it thinking it was just going to be an action movie with a robot cop. And it's not. I mean, it's a brutal, violent, gory film mocking society. Kind of where we are today with corporations taking over all the civic duties like police and, you know, oligarchs. All right, the Big Lebowski at 72, and then this illegitimate. but if you guys are on TikTok and Instagram and stuff, follow an author by the name of Jason Paragon. He does little interesting videos, social commentary and stuff. They're really good, and I highly, highly recommend them. Eddie Murphy Raw, 66. Oh, wait a minute. Here, A Fish Called Wanda, 64. Come on.
That's a funny movie.
Yeah.
Is a very funny movie.
I enjoyed Fierce Creatures better, but.
You did?
Yeah. I love
that's Fierce the one where they bought the zoo?
Yeah.
Yeah. You really did like that one better?
I loved it. Yeah. The characters in that were so great. How they played off of the character. If you watch, like Michael Palin's character in Fish Called Wanda, he has a stutter. He can barely speak. And that's kind of the premise of the whole movie. Mm-hmm. In Fierce Creatures, his character is completely the opposite. He's like he's on coke. He's constantly talking and chattering. And they did that with a lot of the characters. They kind of switched up their personalities. And I thought it was hilarious.
I need to go back and watch that again. I do need to, because I didn't like it the first time I watched it. Maybe because I love A Fish Called Wanda so much. And it's, to me, one of my favorite comedy movies. Cathcart Towers Hotel.
Cathcart Towers Hotel? Cathcart Towers Hotel. Where is it?
Do you remember that movie with John Candy where I can't think of the name of it, but he's a writer for like a soap opera? Mm. And he gets like stuck in this town and everything he writes about it comes true?
No, what is that called?
Who's Harry Crumb?
No, I think it's Delirious.
Okay. Delirious, that's Delirious. What it is. It's Delirious.
Yeah. I've never seen that one.
Oh, it's funny.
He put out a bunch toward the end of his career that I never really got into or didn't watch. I guess I should go back and watch. Was he in Wagons?
Yeah, Wagons East was terrible. That was his last movie. Yeah, he was on the verge of dying.
Yeah.
And, Canadian Bacon was good.
Canadian Bacon was better.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go. Variety. Variety.com. The top 100 comedy films of all time. Argue with your friends about it at the dinner table for Thanksgiving. Hey, Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by the Punchline Comedy Club in Sandy Springs, Georgia, tucked inside of the legendary Landmark Diner.
Do you want some more coffee?
The Punchline remains Atlanta's longest-running premier comedy late-night comedy laugh club, where you can get a huge slab of cake or pancakes to satisfy any cravings you have while you are laughing. Coming up at the Punchline, December 4th through the 6th, it's Erica Rhodes, who is very, very funny. You know her from movies and television and stand-up and Prairie Home Companion and not doing our show. On the 6th, you have Steven Taylor and Lou Ferris. On the 10th, Dominic Pupa. He's going to be someday a butterfly. On the 11th, you have Dan Donahoe, or Hugh. The 12th through the 14th, Taylor Williamson. On the 15th, Landon Bryant. And on the 18th, Carter Anderson. Carter Anderson is that comedian. And remember, Patreon members, you can look for that alert each and every week. We only had one person sign up for it this week, so no giveaway. Keep an eye out for a weekly post offering you a chance to win a pair of passes to an upcoming show. Go to punchline.com for tickets and information.
Best comedy movie that I think I've ever seen is probably Schindler's List. A lot of funny moments. A lot of laughs.
Thought it was Rush Hour.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's funny. Trump said... he went off on some tangent about, you know, they got to go back to making these.
They got to go back to making, what about Rush Hour 4?
Yeah, they are going to do it now.
Well, I know, the next day you saw it, but what, did he know ahead of time? And why does he care about what movies are being
made? He's trying to get Brett Ratner some work.
Yep.
Yeah. Was Obama saying, you know what I think? They ought to remake Naked Gun. He didn't do that kind of thing. Bush probably didn't know anything. Neither did Joe Biden. But anyway, it's interesting.
Did you see any of W on the Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli?
No, was that good? Was he on there?
It was pretty funny.
What was he talking about?
Yeah, just Texas and football, and Eli did did this AI painting. But he said it was him. He actually painted it.
Uh-huh.
And it was like him looking real good. And then and then Peyton with a giant forehead. he said, you know, I'm painting too.
Eli said that?
Yeah, because George W. Bush does all that painting now.
Yeah.
I do a lot of painting. I did a great painting, I thought, the other day of Tony Romo. You remember a couple of weeks ago, Tony Romo was doing a game, and he made that weird noise. He went, oh, right in the middle of the game. Well, I drew a post-coital image. It was mid-coital. And then I painted it. It was very good. You guys miss me? I was pretty good, wasn't I? I know y'all hate me back then, but everybody loves me now. Rest in peace to Dick Cheney. I know Lizzie's a big Dick Cheney fan, aren't you?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah, well, he was a good guy. I think he was really good at, you know, establishing a presence.
He's good at hunting.
He's very good at hunting and sometimes not shooting his friends in the face.
Are you guys watching that Ken Burns Revolutionary War documentary?
No, is it good?
Yeah, it's really good. You know, Ken Burns can't fail.
I don't get PBS.
No, you can watch it on the app.
Yeah.
But there's this guy on there that looks like Dick Cheney. I keep thinking it's Dick Cheney every time he comes on the screen.
Who is it?
I don't know. Is this one of those historians that they have talking about shit? I'm like, dude, you look just like Dick Cheney.
I used to watch the Civil War every time it was on until he put it out on home video, and I bought the VHS box set, and then I bought the DVD box set. I loved that documentary, but you can't really, you know, Shelby Foote, you know, he's been cast aside because he sees it from both sides, understands the differences between it and the island, this and that and the context, but you're not allowed to have context anymore. Because that flag wasn't about, you know, racial pride. It was about state pride and state's right, blah, 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 blah. But I do love that documentary. Ken Burns is great. You're right. He can't go wrong. The baseball one was great, too.
Yeah. I watched that, even though I hate baseball.
I don't know why you hate baseball, Mr. Football.
It's boring.
Boring.
Oh, you like football, Jeff? You played football, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like baseball over football.
I like baseball because it has, I don't know, there's more lore, you know. I'm not a big fan now. And my favorite team, I can't stand watching because they just piss me off. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
Baseball's played on a field. Football's played on a gridiron.
Baseball's more of a, to me, I've noticed fans of baseball are fans of stats.
Mm-hmm.
And calculating
now,
stats.
Now.
Now. As opposed to just enjoying.
Yeah, since Moneyball came out.
I read that most of that movie was bullshit.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Like, it didn't add.
I like it. It's a good movie. That is a really good movie.
Yeah.
Moneyball. But baseball, there's a lot of tension, more tension in baseball than there is in football. You know, you watch something like the World Series where it's actually on the line and it's a game six or a game seven. Whoever wins or, you know, a team wins, they're going to go. Every pitch is important. And with that pitch clock, you have to have, you only have a certain amount of time now to throw that pitch. But I like stories about old time players, players I grew up with, players my dad grew up with. God, you talk 70s, 80s, 90s to a degree. Baseball, I'll talk to you about it, but I don't know anything really after 2008. When was the last time the Yankees won? 2009. Really, I don't, because doing morning radio, I couldn't watch anything at night. And I watched baseball at night. But once I started doing morning radio full time, I just couldn't do it because I couldn't stay up and watch any of the games. Now I can, but I don't have cable and who cares? Now I'm watching. How many times have I watched the Polar Express since Saturday?
Eddie Deason's in that.
I know he is. I took a screen grab because my wife loves Grease.
I follow the career of Eddie Deason.
Yes. I took a picture of the kid and sent it to her, and I said, hey, this is Eugene from Greece. You guys have kids. How many times have you seen that film? Because it came out in 2004, and up until last Saturday, I'd never seen it in my life.
I've seen it a million times. I've seen it in the theater, and then multiple times afterwards. But that movie induces the uncanny valley so much, it's weird to watch.
Why?
Because it's just none of the stuff looks real. It looks so fake. That you can't
compared to now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just meant even then when you were watching it, the way they set up and film that with mocap, it looks strange. I mean, it looks strange to your mind. It doesn't don't look like human beings. Yeah, which is really weird.
What movie are we talking about? I thought we were talking about Grease.
Polar Express.
The Polar Express.
Oh, Polar Express. Oh, that. Yeah. And their eyes all look dead.
Yes.
It looks like there's nothing behind like anybody's eyes in that movie. Mm-hmm. That movie's weird.
Same with Grease. Everybody's eyes look dead in that.
Well, they are.
Like,
dead,
what are you talking about? We used to show it when I worked in the school system. We'd show it you know, we'd have a hot chocolate pajama party. And that's the first time I saw it. Bella was still a baby. And I was like, this movie's like a nightmare. Like, they're on a train ride from hell in this movie. Like, there's ghosts. They're like, I don't know. They're like walking through it, man.
The conductor's a dick.
Yes, yeah. The conductor's a dick. All the adults are weird in it. Yeah. But we watch it. It's one of those movies that we watch during Christmas. Watch it.
I don't understand it at all. I don't understand the story. I don't know why the kid wakes up and there's a fucking train going down the street. I don't know why the one kid's a sad sack and is sitting in the car by himself. And I've watched it. I've sat there watching it, and I still don't understand it.
I feel like that kid's like gets beat by his dad and doesn't get presents for Christmas. I think that's why he's a sad sack.
Okay.
This is what I'm thinking. That's the backstory I gave him.
He's been getting beat. Ho, ho, ho. Bam, bam.
It's just Pennywise waiting for them to turn their heads.
Yes. I tried to get Gil to watch Elf yesterday. I said, hey, you know, why don't... Because it came up. It was recommended after the Polar Express. I said, why don't you watch this? It's about an elf. And he's looking at it. He goes, I don't want to watch that. And I said, no, it's about an elf and Santa Claus is in it. He goes, I want to watch Polar Express. And I got as far as Bob Newhart starting the narration and talking. And he goes, I don't want to watch that old man.
That's one of, yeah, that's like one of our top favorite Christmas movies is Elf.
They're swearing in it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I shouldn't.
I don't think like, I don't, not super bad swearing.
Not a ton, but yeah, there's some.
No, but he'll hear it. Like this morning, he asked me what shit meant. He goes, Daddy, what does shit mean?
Did you say poop?
I said, it's a potty word. You don't say that word. And he goes, well, you say it. And I go, yeah, I probably shouldn't. Because I had just tripped over the dog bed in the hallway. Oh, shit.
Tell him to shut the fuck up.
Well, I cut that off before I say it, although I have said it. Yeah, it takes an awful lot of energy, doesn't it, you guys?
Oh, yeah.
I think Elf is PG.
Yeah, but there's still some language in it.
Still swear language in PG.
Guess it's gone over my head.
What? I don't even hear it anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe they're so, like, subtle that I don't even... I'm not considering it a bad word, but maybe other parents do.
Yeah. Yeah, like, when I showed my mom Clerks for the first time, she was like, oh, my God, that's so filthy. I was like, I don't even notice it.
Yeah, you don't notice it. Gen X can't notice any of that.
Yeah, Kevin's mom said the same thing first time she watched it. She was like, you paid $28,000 for this filth?
I watched Schindler's List with my Nana, and she said, well, they're naked, aren't they? Don't be embarrassed. It's terrible.
Oh, my grandmother lived for naked movies. She, like, any kind of smut. Like, I'm not talking hardcore. I'm talking, like...
She loved Behind the Green Door.
She used to have a life-size poster version of Ricky Martin with his shirt off hanging on her bedroom door.
Your granny was a little
grandma. Lavita grandma. Radio Labyrinth has sponsors. In fact, we have two delightful sponsors I'd like to tell you about right now. The first one being our longest sponsor, Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, proudly serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is the place to be, proudly serving you the best pizza and euros in the city. They're the place to be this fall. They have a huge selection of local Georgia and Southeast craft beers on tap, as well as many others available in bottles and cans. Their featured selection for fall is Scofflaw Brewing's Oktoberfest. Come out and enjoy a tasty ice-cold brew and some fantastic food made fresh to order. And I can attest to that. Their food is amazing. I'm talking about some of the best gyros, pizzas, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Stop by Monday through Friday from 11 to 9 p.m. and Saturdays from noon to 9 p.m. And they are closed on Sundays. Tuesday nights, they have team trivia, and that's always fun, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Their food truck is also available. So if you're interested, call Mike at 770-483-6228 for more details or to schedule your private or corporate event. And Mike says, thanks for listening to the best podcast around. Thank you, Mike. And for all your business and continued support. We're also brought to you by LDI Repro Printing. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005, which, if you're like me and good at math, is 20 years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366, or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment card.
Hey, let's read your YouTube comments. By the way, our show is on YouTube. It is also on all the audio podcatchers, but YouTube is the show I recommend. And our comments come from, well, we have four. Two of them come from Roby Neely, and one of them comes from Jerry Fuchs, a.k.a. Fuchsy, actually two of them. Roby writes, my tried and true fried bologna sandwich recipe got me through many lean paycheck years when I was single. Toast Kraft singles on each side of bread in oven, fry bologna, two slices per sandwich. Construct sandwich after spreading Miracle Whip on toasted cheese. Try to gag and get through this. Put back into the oven to toast the untoasted outside of sandwiches. Take out of the oven when toasted to preferred brownness. Gluttony, enjoy. You know what? Just replace the Miracle Whip with mayonnaise. And there you go. Yeah.
Get some Dukes before it changes.
Yeah. What are they doing to Dukes?
It got bought out by some big conglomerate.
What do they call that shit? Private equity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guys who run those just come in there and they mix it up. Sorry, Liz.
Oh my gosh, no, I have that thought. Like, anytime there's too much mayonnaise on like a fast food burger, I have that thought.
You do?
And yeah, and I'm like,
ooh. It's cold, you don't want it. I don't understand this comment, so you'll have to explain it to me. Tim Andrews knows it from being the trashed fan.
About George Clark being drunk, talking to that comedian.
Well, I'm not drunk. I never get drunk. So I don't know, Roby. Fuchsy says, ah, George Clark. Once you get in a room, of course the facilitator shows up. The Gold Club would have eaten you alive.
Right. Yeah.
You got to listen to our last episode with George Clark. And he also says, of course, Kim Congdon seemed fine with the conversation. It's filtered through your beer goggles. Learn the lesson, but don't dwell on it. I think I can safely say that at one time or the other, we've all been the drunk on the couch. And that is true. I've been the drunk probably on every piece of furniture. And be having coffee with Fuchsy this weekend. Oh, by the way, you can leave comments on our YouTube page. Please leave comments. We love to read them. You can ask me to do voices. I was going to do a voice this week. I was going to read some of my erotic poetry that I wrote that engaged. Are you guys following this story?
I heard about it. I haven't followed up on it.
Well, her name is Olivia Newsy, right? She's a reporter. Not only is she flirting with RFK, a married man running for president, which, by the way, he's as guilty as she is. Don't worry, but I'm not being sexist.
She's into felching.
Is she?
Yep.
Oh, that's according to her ex-fiance.
Yeah.
What's felching? I don't want to look it up.
You don't want to know.
But now I do, though.
There's no way on YouTube that we can describe what that is.
Yeah. Okay. I'll ask around.
Ask Al. He'll know. He's probably
heard of it. Sounds like something I shouldn't ask him.
No, you shouldn't.
Then he'll be like, let's Google it.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
When you're done with the podcast, tell Joe, do you want to get into felching and see what he says?
And if he doesn't throw up, you got to keep it. she dated and lived with Keith Olbermann when she was 18 years old. And he was 55. Keith Olbermann. I mean, he still had a career then. I mean, he killed his career by getting into politics instead of sticking with sports. Because he was great on sports. He was great on ESPN. And then I did a show on MSNBC that nobody liked and nobody watched. And then they replaced me with a female lookalike. Which is true. You can look into that. Keith Olbermann's annoying. He's like the most annoying of those. Like, he's like the Tucker Carlson annoying, right?
Yeah.
Any of those people. But this lady, RFK Jr. was sending her text messages. And one of them, he wrote this poem about how he'd like to, you know, ride his canoe through her canyon and hold her nose and make her swallow every drop. And this guy is now the head of this guy for president.
Maybe he's so romantic.
So that's interesting. That's very interesting. What else do you want to talk about? You want to just do some staff picks and call it a happy Thanksgiving Eve?
Yeah. It's Florida Man season 2.
Oh, cool.
HBO Max. Season 1 was hilarious.
Is that the show where they like reenact?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that show. That's so funny.
That comes out on the 28th.
It's like, it reminds me of Drunken History.
Yeah.
A little bit. Except the people aren't drunk. But it's that same style.
Yeah.
But it's great though, right?
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Y'all go ahead. I'll do mine last.
Still on my Stranger Things kick.
Mm-hmm.
So Tom that's is? Coming out. That's coming out tonight. I've been super excited about it. And right after the show is when it's coming out, right after we're done. But I have to go to my sister's to bake. And I knew the show coming out right now was going to thwart my, like, the traditions that I do every year. Because it's, you know, I enjoy the traditions I do every year. But right now I'm like, damn it, I have to go bake my sister's.
You can't watch It's a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving?
Why not?
Because she's got to watch Stranger Things.
Because I got to watch Stranger Things. And I can't, if I don't, then I can't get on the internet until I'm done. You know?
Well, is it Charlie Brown Christmas only on once?
No, it's Thanksgiving one.
Oh.
Where they call him Chuck the whole time.
No, and then the next set of Stranger Things episode comes out on Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, I'm going to be trying to rush home to watch it.
Am I going to be the only one on this show that doesn't watch it?
Probably.
You should. Yeah, I don't know why you don't.
I quit watching it in season 3.
It disappoints me. Season 3 is one of the best seasons. It disappoints. Like, it makes me sad that you don't watch that show.
Why? Will it make you happy if I do? That'll be my Christmas gift to you.
I would love that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll watch all of them next week.
All right. That sounds good.
As soon as I finish my 20th listen to the Dark Tower series, and since I'm on 7. And I'm about to get very angry again.
Yeah.
Then, Dustin?
Mine is Tom Cruise's Vanilla Sky from 2001. Cameron Crowe produced the film and directed it and co-wrote it. But what he did was he took an existing film that was a Spanish film and remade it. It's basically the same plot. There's really no difference. He took it from one country and changed the actors and put it in America. But really cool concept as far as about life and about how in the future we may be able to handle death. I saw it in the theater when it came out, and I thought about it for like a week afterwards. I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I didn't watch it for a few years and watched it again. Every time I watch it, it still gives me that same goosebumps every time I watch it.
I had a boyfriend who that movie really affected. And he told me a little bit about it and was like, you should watch it. And it made him really sad. And he really wanted me to watch it. And I don't know why it made him sad, but he died. And I never watched it because I didn't want to know what made him sad about it.
Aw. Honestly, I think you should watch it. It would, I think
For Dustin for Christmas. Watch.
No, but I mean, it's a good movie, and especially given that scenario. Yeah, I could definitely see what someone could get out of it.
For Christmas, I'm going to watch that Scrooge from the Chair Company.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, that's my staff pick. Of course, I haven't finished it yet, but I watched most of the Being Eddie, right? That's what it's called, the Eddie Murphy documentary that's on Netflix. And I love Eddie Murphy, always have. Even in shitty movies, I like Eddie Murphy. I've always liked Arsenio. And
they must have been working on that for a long time because his brother's in it and a lot of other people.
That stuff is old interviews because even when he was still alive, he was starting to get real gaunt and skinny.
So
those look like they were shot during the Chappelle show.
In a similar vein, I watched that When We Were Mad, the Mad Magazine documentary.
Oh, is that good?
Yeah, Gilbert's in it and Frank Santopadre.
What's that on?
It's on Prime.
All right. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me. I want to watch that.
It was very good. But they must have been working on that for a long time, too, because...
Oh, yeah.
You know, Gilbert's no longer with us.
Yeah.
Frank looked kind of young in it. Not that he looks terribly old now, but he looks a lot younger in this.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Frank, last night I was meditating outside, and I saw this article that said Jack Klugman had put out a Thanksgiving album called Gobble While You Wobble. And I believed it. And I went on this tour trying to fucking find this thing. It looked real. And there was this whole lore about how it was so dirty that he got sued and this and that. by Cab Calloway. And I believed it, and I kept looking to try to find out if this was real. And I was getting, even on two different AI searches, I was getting mixed confirmation about it. So this is so dumb of me. This afternoon I wrote Frank and I said, hey, I saw this. Have you ever heard this? And then right after I sent, clicked send, I saw a Facebook post that said, oh, it was fake, from 2013.
Yeah.
And I immediately wrote him back. I said, I'm an idiot. That was.
Don't you hate when you got?
Yes.
You get got. No.
But this was all day. I mean, last night I was looking for this and I couldn't find it. And he did put out albums. He did one with Tony Randall, The Odd Couple Sings. And it was just one of the, I wanted it to be real. Like, and it's the way the album cover looked, it's like, oh, that looks like it could be real. But it was fake, and it's not. So anyway, my staff pick beside that is this week's episode of the Popcast. I have Lake Bell, who plays Barb on The Chair Company. And it's a weird interview because I couldn't come to work to do it. And I canceled it that morning. And then Universal called and said, well, hey, why don't you just call in and I'll record it on my end and you can talk to her. So at the beginning, we're talking with each other about, well, her kids are there and my kids in the other room. I said I bribed them with a movie, and so I actually had to buy him a Hot Wheels car last night to
keep him quiet.
Not to keep him quiet, but I said, if you stay out here and watch the movie and don't come ask for me, I'll get you a car. And as soon as I got home, I was like, you got my car? Yeah, here you go. And also interesting, Shonda A. Bell, and no relation, and Krista Pitts, and those two are sisters who invented the Elf on the Shelf. And one of them, or both of them, live in Snellville.
Oh, wow.
Oh, interesting.
Cool. Yes. Very, very nice. Very sweet. They have this whole expanded universe that exists on Netflix, and they have books coming out. And so it was fun to talk to them because Elf on the Shelf, another thing that I never thought.
Do they appreciate when parents torture their kids with that thing?
We didn't get into that.
They do, though.
But yeah,
well,
like they'll shred their pajamas and then they'll have the elf there with the scissors.
Oh no, we didn't do that. We just would like knock over popcorn.
Yeah.
Oh, there's, you know, there's people that take it to extremes.
They go all out.
My dad used to joke when I lived with them when Bella was a baby, like, what if we wake up and the elf is, you know, slit our dog Frank's throat?
Yeah, last year we had. We took the eye out of one of Gilbert's stuffies and put some stuffing around him and made it look like he ate him. Ow. I never even thought. That's terrible. I mean, I guess people do crazy things with them. That doesn't even come into mind with me. I try to make it more elaborate. Like, I had him swinging around on the ceiling fan in the living room. How'd he get up there, Daddy? I don't know.
Our elf always, we have something, we don't have Elf on the Shelf. I think it came out before Elf on the Shelf did, and that was popularized, but it's called Elf Magic. But you can touch this elf, so you can't touch Elf on the Shelf. And then he eventually got Elf on the Shelf, and our elves from Elf Magic know that he's like a spy and a tattletale. So they'll like duct tape him to the wall so he can't get back to the North Pole, things like that.
Right. Well, thank you guys. To you guys, the three of yous, have a great Thanksgiving. Jeff, I know you actually have food this year, so knock it off with the bologna sandwich.
And I thought that was sweet of my mom to be like, oh no, this man might be eating a bologna sandwich. I'm gonna buy him a whole turkey. It's a whole turkey for him.
What was I gonna say? I hope everybody did have a good Thanksgiving. You guys are awesome. Don't forget, we have an event 1 to 4 p.m. on December 7th at Atlanta Pizza and Euro. It's a hootenanny or a get-to-go, whatever you want to call it. We'll all be there. And come out and hang out with us. Remember to like, rate, and review us on Spotify. Leave a comment on YouTube. Subscribe to YouTube if you like. And turn on all the alerts. All those things that the podcast's hosts ask you to do, either at the beginning or at the end. And always remember to keep it canon.
What do you say? All good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the radio labyrinth. And we got a rocket like we're still young kids. Yeah. Laughing at the world. The jokes never fade. Never fade away. And at the radio labyrinth, we'll never be swayed.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold,
some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.